It's good to be among friends and family. You know, family is very important, and we can draw strength from each other. And it's something I think that the Lord is well aware of, because that's why He places us in families. That's why He created families in the first place, so that we've got support and we're not self-reliant, because self-reliance is good to a point until you find out that you need someone else's help. So it's good to be humble from time to time. I'd like to start with it's only a small reading. If you want to look at it, it's in John chapter 1, and there's only two verses. It reads, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who Himself God and is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." Very short reading, but very concise. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to open this passage up to us. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You know all things, and we need a revelation from You this morning. Lord, speak to us through Your word. Open it up to us. Holy Spirit, have Your way with us, and make us receptive to the changes which we may recognize that we have to make within our lives to be in good fellowship with You. So Lord, bless me, I pray. Give me the strength and courage to deliver it in Your power and with Your conviction. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Sin. And sin equals disobedience, because that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. If you remember, God said to Adam and Eve, "You can eat anything in the garden, but don't go near that tree." And what was it that they got? They were disobedient. And that was the start of sin. Not only were they disobedient, but through their disobedience, they were actually rebellious, weren't they? So rebellion is part of sin as well, when we rebel against the will of the Lord. And that led them to be entrapped. Remember when you read in Genesis where they were actually hiding from the Lord? They recognized that they were naked. So they became entrapped through sin. And that's what sin does and how it works. You know, when we look back to when we were children, I'm sure we can all remember that far back, no matter how far back it was when we were children. I'm sure we've all done something wrong. Maybe we're sitting playing and got up and, "Mum, can I have a biscuit?" And she says, "Yeah, you can have one." And how many of us thought we would be clever and we would sneak a second one for ourselves? And then later on, when it came tea time, Mum had the biscuits counted because they were sharing them around the family. And there wasn't enough. And Mum says to you, "How many biscuits did you have?" And the first thing which normally comes out of your mouth when you're a child is, "Just the one, Mum. That's what you said." And that's the first mistake we make. How did you feel then when you just said that? You know, you think, and then you get the second one, "Are you sure?" And yes. And that's the second mistake. And you're just digging yourself deeper and deeper into the hole. And that's how we can get trapped. That first lie and then the second lie just traps you. And it's always harder then to confess. And you know, sin is just like that. If we had said, "Yes, Mum, I took an extra one," okay, we might have got a smack in the hand or a clip around the ear hole, you know, but that would have been it, done and dusted. But you know, there's something that we need to realize is we all sin, don't we? There's not one of us that doesn't sin. We don't set out to do it. We don't mean to do it. It just happens, or does it? You know, sin has a habit of dragging us down. It can make us heavy-hearted, sad, embarrassed, frightened even, of being found out. And that's what the funny thing with sin is. It's not frightened of the sin. It's frightened of being found out, of not looking good in other people's eyes. And that's where Satan's very clever, because if he can get a hold of you like that there, he has got you where he wants you. So we might even feel guilty. We may even look guilty. But even when we think we've got away with it, and sometimes we think we're clever enough to get away with it, like when you had that first biscuit. But it always has a habit of coming back and biting you in the bum, as it were. You know, comes back at a later date, causing you more worry and maybe more pain than you would have got the first time. But we can't hide anything from God, because he knows and sees and hears everything that we think, say, or do. And that's the hard thing, you know, when you think, you don't even have to say it. He knows what's going on in our hearts and in our minds. And he cares about each one of us. Ever since the world was created, God has clearly showed us his power and his character. Yet many choose to ignore him. There is not one person on this earth who obeys God and gives him the full honour and praise that he deserves. Now that sounds harsh. There's not one on this whole earth. All of us have failed to keep the Lord's will. And the Old Testament tells us about the burden of the sacrifices that the children of Israel had to contend with in an impossible attempt to keep God's law. The enormous number of bulls, lambs, and doves that were offered as sacrifices, shed their blood. And, you know, when we read some passages in the texts of the scripture, it depicts priests waiting up to their knees in blood, slaughtering animals. And according to Google, that old friend of most people, at one day slaughtering, on one occasion, there was 1.2 million animals slaughtered. Can you imagine that? That was in all Israel on one day. It's hard to believe. It's hard to conceive. But you know, and yet that was not enough to make them right with God. Why? Because they continued to be disobedient. Even after they admitted their sin, they just carried on being disobedient. They lapsed and they wandered away to worship other gods, gods of other nations, gods who had done nothing for them and could do nothing for them because they weren't gods at all. God must have been so frustrated by them. You know, when you consider how much he had provided for them, the battles that he had given them victory over their enemies in, and yet how soon they forgot where their strength came from and returned to their old ways, believing that they were self-sufficient. Are we any different, really? You know, in Romans 3:23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Yet even though we as sinners, God in his mercy has provided us with a way to return and enjoy a healthy relationship with him. A relationship which is not dependent upon keeping the law, because the law was impossible to keep. The law was there to just point out that we are all sinners, that we couldn't keep it. God sent his son, Jesus, to suffer and die in our place. And the old system of the law died with Jesus. And as Rob always said, here we go, my favourite passage. As we can read in John 3:16, I'm sure you don't even need to look at your Bibles for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Note, and it's important that we note, if you want to take advantage of that gift from God, there is only one condition. And as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying, and you should not be surprised by this saying, you must be born again. Yes, you must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, it can't be inherited. It can't be passed on down the line. It's your choice to accept or reject the Lord as your Savior. It's a personal relationship that's required. And if you've not already made that choice, as Rob's already said this morning, I would strongly urge you that you put that right immediately today. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today, because we don't know whether we've got it tomorrow. You know, Romans 6:23 tells you why you should do it, why it's important. Because it tells us straightforward, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even when we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we still need to remain alert, because Satan is just ready and waiting, and we're a bigger target once we become the Lord's. He will hit you with everything, and that's why it's important to be prepared for it. Don't think that, it's an easy life. I just sit back now and wait until the Lord comes again, or I pass away into glory and that's it. Because I've put my feet up now and just relax. That's not what it's all about. Okay, you don't need to do anything else once your salvation's secure. You don't have to work for it. But you will want to work for it, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. You'll want to do God's work. Satan loves nothing better to attack you. And Paul warns us this in Corinthians 10, verses 12 to 13. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Our Lord is a loving God, and he's the best Father that anyone will ever have, because he not only forgives us, but he forgets. He doesn't bring up all things. Satan does. Satan will get in there and say, well, you know, you're not that good, because do you remember back such and such when you pinched that bar of chocolate out of that shop or out of somebody's school bag or whatever? You know, God doesn't do that. Once God forgives you, it's forgotten. But temptation can take many forms, leading in some cases to addiction. Now, addiction is it's a medical term. It means it's something which you can't do without. And I would suggest that if you want to get addicted to anything, get addicted to Jesus, because then you'll have no problems with any other addiction if you rely on his strength. You can become addicted to tobacco, as I once was. I mean, at one time, I couldn't do anything without a cigarette in my hand. And I'd admit maybe to smoking 20 a day, and I was maybe smoking 40 a day. But I needed the Lord's strength to stop. And I stopped. And I haven't touched a cigarette for, don't know, many years now. A long time. I wouldn't even tempt myself by having one now, because I think I could have a tendency to become addicted again. But it's a decision that you've got to make when you come to the Lord. Alcohol is another one you can be addicted to, as you're well aware of, drugs, sweets, chocolate, shopping, all you ladies, cars, polishing your car, you know, loving your car, you know, work. Some people are addicted to their job. They can't stick away, you know, more time, and the family suffer because of it. So addiction is a dangerous thing. The other thing which we can get addicted to is our finances, wealth. As we can read from Mark 10, verses 17 to 22, it tells of a rich man trapped by wealth. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit life, eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At that, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Just like him, we can all be trapped when we love something more than we love God. Sin is also an addiction, but unlike other addictions, sin is an addiction which affects all of us. None of us are exempt from sin. It's in our nature, and we can't help ourselves. Like everything else, addiction starts small with the first step, and then it develops stage by stage, one step at a time. And sin is exactly the same. The first time we sin or do something wrong, our conscience will prick us and we'll maybe worry about it and get concerned. You know, but the more and more we do it, the more reasonable and more logical it seems to be. "Well, I got away with that. You know, nobody noticed. I'll just keep on doing this. It was quite nice. I enjoyed that." But that's until you get into, and then you get stuck and you're addicted, whether it be drink, drugs, or whatever. You get in that deep where you can't get out, and you find yourself being swamped. And there's only one answer, and it's the answer to all our problems, really, and that is Jesus. You know, we need God's help. We've got to acknowledge that we have a problem in the first place. We need to get down on our knees and confess our sins, or we will remain trapped in them. Simple as that. We all need to ask God to come into our lives and forgive us our sins. He is more than ready and willing and able to do it. There is nothing that he wants more than for each of us to put our full trust in him and to allow him to cleanse us of our sins and assure us that there is a place for us, for each of us, to share heaven's glory with him when he returns again to claim us as his own. And he will return his own again, his word tells us. He will return. We don't know when. That's why it's important not to put things off. When he returns, he's going to come for all of those who belong to him. And he's going to take them with him up to glory as heirs to the kingdom, not just as visitors, not just as guests, but as heirs to the kingdom, because he loves you so much. Will you admit this morning that you're a sinner? Because you need to. We're all sinners. And we all need help. Will you ask Jesus to come into your heart and let him set you free if you haven't already do it? If you feel that Jesus is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit right now, today, then please don't put it off until tomorrow. Now is the time to act. You're never too young or too old. All you have to do is to ask him to come into your heart. And he will. He'll gladly. And you know, Scripture tells us there'll be much rejoicing in heaven. Scripture tells us there is much joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So my suggestion to each of you today is to just remember the price that was paid for each one of us to be able to come back into a relationship with God through Jesus, his one and only Son, the greatest gift ever given. But a gift is only a gift, and it's only, you only take ownership of it if you take it and unwrap it and accept it as a gift. If you put it in a cupboard, you know, it just becomes a possession. It's not a gift. It's not precious. Otherwise you wouldn't put it in a cupboard. So let's just bring it to the Lord now, and let's close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your Son Jesus, who paid the price for our sins. And we thank you for the privilege that he has given us to be able to come to you in prayer under the cover of his name. For it is only through prayer that we can ask and be granted a pardon from our sins. Lord, I ask that you bless every one of us here today and protect us from the evil one. May God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit grant us grace, mercy, and peace. May they be ours in truth and love always until you come again, Lord Jesus. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.